Welcome to Unshackled Leadership, a lantern for Black women. This program is produced to help women of color in leadership move from their zone of excellence to their zone of genius by eliminating any false upper limits caused by race, gender, culture, or their own inner critic. This program is dedicated to the legacy of Harriet Tubman, who held a lantern in the dark for all of us. I'm your host, ICF Certified Executive Leadership Coach, Joya Jefferson Nuri. Welcome back to Unshackled Leadership, a lantern for Black women. And I'm so glad you're joining us again today. Our guest today is a self-proclaimed menopause mogul. She is a board-certified OBGYN who enlightens, encourages, and empowers professional women of color, especially those of us over the age of 40, as they experience different changes of aging, especially one of our most challenging changes, menopause. Her Power of the Pause program is the only perimenopausal health and business online coaching program created by an OBGYN. I'm impressed. It empowers professional women of color over the age of 40 to unleash their authentic power, as she says in her bio, unleash their authentic power and eliminate perimenopausal symptoms, optimize their health, start a service-based business of their dream, and be the mogul they are meant to be. Her book, Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Perimenopausal and Beyond, is a resource to inform women of what to expect when you're in perimenopausal periods and through your menopause, in addition to changes that occur to your sexual health when you're in that period of your life. Joelle Ballard, welcome to Unshackled Leadership.
Thank you so much, Joya. I am so excited about this conversation.
Me too. I have to admit to the audience that I am past menopause. Mm-hmm. I don't hide my age. But I have to tell you, my menopause was so awful. Mm. There were times I wished I could have my period back.
Wow, that's pretty awful, Joya.
It was pretty awful. And it went on for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I had night sweat, day sweat, standing still sweats. I had mood swings during perimenopausal and menopause that mm-hmm. my then husband knew that the cure would be large Mr. Good bars. And I would have these massive carnival kind of size
wow.
Mr. Good bars left on the kitchen table, left on the dining room table, left in my office. Like, please eat the Mr. Good bar so that we can live.
Yes.
And it really did solve me. Not just any candy bar.
Yeah.
The Mr. Good bar had this combination of the kind of chocolate and the nuts.
Yeah.
But now that I am past it, the sight of a Mr. Good bar pisses me off. So, there are no Mr. Good bars in my life. So I'm excited for this conversation also. So as a certified OBGYN, how did you come to focus on perimenopause and menopause?
Yeah, it's funny that I'm actually in this space because I like to admit that menopause was not my cup of tea when I was in practice, to be completely honest. I came out of practice, you know, just excited about seeing my patients and delivering babies. And when my menopausal patients came in, I'm like, oh, Lord, another menopausal woman. What am I going to do with her? And I have to admit, and that was because I was really a little bit intimidated because we didn't really get a lot of education in medical school, in my residency training around menopause. So I would have to go Google stuff, go look up stuff on the medical websites to try to figure out how am I going to help this woman. So for me to go from that to now, that changed because number one, my own perimenopause journey. I started my perimenopause at the tender age of 39, where I had these horrific, I woke up after my 39th birthday with horrific night sweats. I'm like, what is this? I was in denial. So I'm like, it's fine, whatever. And went on about my life. Actually got pregnant, subsequently had my third child. And then after I stopped breastfeeding him, the night sweats came back like with a vengeance. I had horrible acne. I had irritability. I was biting off my husband's head off. Sometimes he deserved it, but you know, a lot of times he didn't. But I was not myself at all. I was this joyful, like my name, Joyelle, joyful doctor in the office, but I became this woman like I did not recognize. I was very irritated. I wanted to push patients out the office. Okay, what are you here for? Okay, I'm gonna give you this and send you on your way. I don't care. Exactly. I just don't want to be bothered.
Yes.
So because of my own experience and then how I learned to get myself out of that, I wanted to encourage and empower other women to do that. And also at the same time, seeing other women go through these changes and really feeling stuck and feeling alone and feeling all the things, especially women of color, I wanted to now amplify that conversation because of that. So that's how I kind of got from, I don't really care about menopausal women, now I'm like totally
to
passionate
be the
about
menopause mogul.
Exactly. Yes,
right. Menopause mogul. So in that transformation, did you think that you would ever end up specializing in women in the menopausal parts of their lives, perimenopause, and also helping them fulfill their desires for business at this part of life? Did you ever think you would do this?
No, I did not envision this at all. At all. And again, it really is based off my own story, right? My own story of going through this horrible experience of perimenopause and really not recognizing myself and going from that. And then with this spark and this whisper from God, start your own business. So in order for me to do all of that and still thrive and still, you know, dream about things that I want to do, I really wanted to help other women, empower other women, especially Black women, to do the same, because I recognize there's such a need for that audience, because looking out into the menopause world, especially when I first came out doing this, there was none of us out there. It was limited amounts of us out there speaking about it. And I wanted women, especially Black women, to see themselves as they are going through these changes, and also know that even though they're going through these changes, you can still build businesses. You can still write books. You can still do all the things you are being called to do, and thrive as far as your health and as well as this menopausal transition.
Do you believe that at 40, we get this desire to be an entrepreneur? Does it particularly happen with the hormonal changes?
I think at 40, it doesn't necessarily have to be business, but I think we do get this feeling or this feeling that you want more. And whether that's in a business, whether that's in writing a book, whatever that thing is, you have this feeling like, I want more out of life. And there has to be more to what I'm doing, right? Like people think, you know, looking at me like, you're already a doctor. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they think you're supposed to stop. Like, I'm, you know, and most doctors do. You go to medical school, residency training, go practice in a practice, and you stay there until you're in your 60s, 70s and retire. Most of us don't go and just leave and start businesses just because. So I think, you know, I think of many women, you know, when they turn 40, like, okay, they start to evaluate themselves and, you know, think about, okay, I've done this and I still want more. And really taking the time to explore what more looks like for you, I think it's something that a lot of us go through.
I wanted more at 40. By the time I was 50, I had to get on that track or I would be stuck where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But the process is not easy.
Right.
So tell us about the process. I mean, you did go to medical school. You did go through all the 24-hour days and
yes.
all of that in your internships, residencies, and all of that to get to where you could be in a private practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you just changed your mind.
Yeah.
What did that feel like?
Yeah, that was scary as hell. That was, and it, you know, I definitely don't want to minimize that transition because it was hard for me, right? Like I said, I went through all this training, all the education. How dare you now want to change it up and just do something different? Like, how dare you? And I didn't want to leave my patients. I didn't want to, you know, I was with this practice for 12 plus years. They were like a family to me. And I didn't want to leave my colleagues, like all of these things. But I had to go back to, okay, what does Joyelle want? What does Joyelle want? And I learned that in my perimenopause journey where I had to really prioritize my desires and my needs. Because up until that point, I was so used to taking care of everybody else, right? I'm the oldest of 8 kids. I'm the first doctor in the family. I have now my own 3 kids. Like, I'm so used to taking care of, I was so used to taking care of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in my perimenopause, you know, in that journey, I had to learn and practice to prioritize, what do I want?
Right.
And really right. pay attention to that and go after it.
You know, so often we're told as women, what do I want is not the question on the table.
Mm-hmm.
What does the society want from me? Starts out, what do my parents want? What does the society want from me? What does my husband want from me? What do our children want from me?
Right.
From me. And I hear you when you say that's scary as hell, because it's not what you're saying is, what I heard was you're not saying just that you left medicine. You know, everybody wants their children, their sons and daughters to be doctors.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a 3-year-old grandson. I want him to be a doctor. I even bought him a t-shirt that says Harvard. So, talking about pressuring somebody.
Right.
And he's
right.
3. And so you not only left being a doctor, you had to ask yourself that question, what do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
When you answer that question, that you're going to be working with women in this scary part of their world, and you're going to do this, once you answer the question, now you have to actualize it.
Yeah.
And so for the women who are listening, all right, they changed their mind. They don't want to be this. They want to be that. But there's a big gap between ending this
right.
and getting to that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the gap.
Yeah. Yeah. So that gap, it started with me doing a lot of what I call busy work, right? Like I would listen to lots of webinars and actually, like, in that beginning, I really didn't know if I wanted to do coaching. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I know I wanted to start a business, but I really didn't know what that looked like. So I would, you know, join webinars and do like online virtual things and all these things and get all this information, but really wasn't taking any action per se. I would, you know, compose all this information, all these notebooks. And I'm like, okay, feeling really inspired and motivated. Like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. But then when I got there, I was like, okay, I really don't know where to start still. I'm still
yeah.
stuck. I was still stuck in this like information overload. And so at that point, I, you know, after doing that for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months, I decided to connect with a business coach,
mm-hmm.
which I've never really, you know, made the connection with coaching, right? You know, being a physician, you know, we go to doctors, maybe we go therapists, but actual like coaching, I never really knew that was a thing, to be honest, until I got into my own journey. And I didn't know the transformation it can bring when you connect with the right coach for you.
Yeah.
So once I did that, that's when I was able to actually have that support and that guidance to take those baby actionable steps in order to get to the point where the business was actually started and, you know, the podcast and, you know, all the things in regards to that. So making that decision to actually hire help, which is another thing that was hard for me, right? Like, okay, I'm a whole doctor. I can figure this out. Like, I don't need anybody's help.
Yeah, that's right. I'm me.
I can do this.
I can do this.
Yeah, exactly. So I also had to admit to myself too that, girl, it's okay. You can ask for help.
You are not Captain America.
Exactly.
Not do this alone.
Right. And a lot of awesome people, they have help. They have coaches. They have this. They have that. They don't do it all alone. So I also had to learn that also in the process.
That's a really good point, because I did a previous podcast and doing the research for that podcast, it was about leadership. Okay. And the research showed that 66% of white men who sit in leadership positions have an executive leadership coach, when 4% of black women who sit in leadership positions have a coach.
Wow.
Yeah, 66% of white men have a coach and have had a coach for more than a decade.
Wow.
Because they recognize the dream I have, I can't fly that high alone.
Yeah.
So if you get a good coach, and getting a business coach, getting a leadership coach, getting a swim coach, you need a coach. You know, everybody needs a coach to excel. Right. So you made that gap. Mm-hmm. And I want the audience to recognize we're going through Joelle's process here, but this is for you. Mm-hmm. You can follow this process. So you get this process. So now you are at a point, you get through the process. Now you are at a point where you want to coach women on how to get into business. So how did you blend in menopause? Now that's a different coaching practice. So now you're a coach of your own, but you're coaching how to start your business and how to manage menopause.
Right.
Okay, so tell us.
Because I realized that, you know, again, through my own journey with wanting to start a business and actually do the things in the business, and at the same time, my body is doing interesting things mentally, physically, emotionally, and being able, you know, as you know, entrepreneurship is a whole bunch of things, like roller coaster ride of things, right? So being able to manage that as well, the roller coaster ride that's going on within your body, I recognize that could be a bit challenging. So I wanted to help women navigate that and at the same time not feel like they can't do the big audacious thing like build and start a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many women, you know, in their 50s, 40s and 50s who get this inkling of starting a business or, you know, rising in their careers.
Or going for that CEO job.
Right. Exactly.
You've been there for years. Why can't you be the head?
Why can't I be the... Exactly. But then at the same time, their body is going through these changes. Okay, what is this? And their confidence level is compromised. They feel like, you know, if I get to that point, will I be able to handle it? Because my body's doing this and my mind is doing that. Like, all these things are happening at the same time. So I really wanted to gel that for them to say, you know, you can certainly get to that CEO position or build your own business at the same time that your body is doing all kinds of interesting things.
My OBGYN, told me when my menopause started, when I had all the frustrations that everybody had, like, why do I have to change pajamas in the middle of the night? Or why do I always have to bring an extra pair of underpants because I'm soaked?
Yeah.
You know, by the middle of the day.
Right.
And I was grousing to her about all of this. And she just looked at me and she said, you have to understand that your body is mourning the loss of estrogen. Mm. And you should be gentle with her.
Mm.
Changed my perspective.
Yeah.
Now my body and I and her mourning estrogen became partners.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help with the sweats, but it gave me a perspective.
Right.
When you're working with women, you know, and I was also in the height of it, deciding to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're working with women, do you change their perspective around it? I mean, tell me what happens when you're working around the hormonal changes.
Yeah, most definitely. I love that perspective because that really is very similar to what I coach my clients around. We really have to, because we have been conditioned to think, you know, menopause is the worst thing ever. It's doom and gloom. Like, oh my gosh, your life is over. Like, what? All the bad things, right?
Right.
So I work with women to change that narrative, number one. Like, this is actually the best time of your life, if you can imagine that. Like, no. they're
looking
like, really?
Looking back on it, I would agree. Yeah.
They're like, really? Yeah. What? How is that possible?
Yeah.
And that is because this is really the opportunity to change the relationship that you have with yourself. Because if you think about up until this point where you have been, you know, working in your career, raising children, or whatever that thing is, and a lot of times you're kind of on a hamster wheel. You're just used to just going with the flow. You just you just keep going, push through. With menopause, it really gives you that opportunity to take a pause
mm-hmm.
and really look at your life and figure out, again, going back to that question, what do I want and what do I need?
What do I want and what do I need?
And that relationship with yourself, you're so used to, again, taking care of everybody else. Now you have to shift and prioritize you, your health, your wellness, your mental, you know, fortitude, all these things. You really have to make that shift of prioritizing you. And when you do that, you're able to give yourself compassion, give yourself grace as your body is going through these changes, instead of beating ourselves up, instead of judging ourselves, like, oh my God, I got this brain fog. Now you can't, you know, do whatever you have to do for that meeting. Now you got to do like all this negative self-talk that we have with ourselves. So that relationship that you have with yourself, it changes. You talk to yourself differently. You talk to yourself with more positive, more affirming things as opposed to judgment and beating yourself up over, you know, these hot flashes, these night sweats. And,
exactly.
And look at menopause as, again, not something that is this doom and gloom, but there's many women who don't even get to menopause, right? Mm-hmm. They don't even make it this far. So being in gratitude, like, okay, I'm now at this age that I've made it. It's challenging, but thank God I'm here.
I lived long enough to experience the
exactly,
glory of this.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, but at the same time, being kind to yourself, be more compassionate and really digging deep into that self-care that prioritizes you and your wants and your needs at the same time.
You know, that's beautiful what you just said. But I work with women in this age range between 40 and 60
mm-hmm.
who are already in some level of leadership. And as you said, they have ambitions to be more. Either
right.
they're already the CEO and they have this vision for the company
mm-hmm.
or they're seeking that position or they are seeking to leave CEO and become an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
while they're going through this hormonal piece. And in my sessions with them, I don't talk about menopause as much, or hardly ever with my clients, but I do have this, I beg them to have sacred rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it sacred because it's on your calendar. Mm. It can't be moved. But they struggle with understanding the importance of it. And they struggle with making it consistent. And they also don't ask their families often to be a part of it. Mm. Their husbands or partners, their children. This is what mommy needs now.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And unless... Joelle, I had this sign that I would put outside of my bedroom door for my children and husband. It was a big poster board.
Yeah.
And I wrote on it, unless your problem has created flames or blood, do not knock. With crayons and markers, it had color. I did the whole thing. Unless your problem has created flames or blood, do not knock. And I know I won when I heard my husband's feet come down the hallway.
Right.
He got to the door and I heard him walk away.
Exactly.
Like, don't bother me. No. But it's hard to convince people to make that demand.
Yeah.
To make that demand. And I'm wondering how you do it. How do you help women move from give into a period of care from me?
Yeah. You're right. This is very challenging. It was very challenging for me, right? Like, I was the biggest, like, people pleaser. I want to make sure everybody is good before I do anything for myself, right? But I had, and what I, you know, work with my clients on, we really have to give ourselves that permission. It's the permission to take care of me. And at the same time, realizing that, because again, we're used to running on fumes. We're so used to that. But we have to come to the realization that that doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. There's going to be a time, whether it's next month, tomorrow, 3 months from now, there's going to be a time when your body is going to knock you down at some point. So we have to be proactive to avoid getting to that point.
Yes.
Right? So when we give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves, to rest, to just step away, because this is for self-preservation. This is not something that we, you know, a luxury we just get to do. Like, we have to, you know, like what they say, put our oxygen mask on first, and then share it with others. And that is for everything. If we don't give ourselves that permission to pour into us and take care of ourselves, taking care of others is not going to be sustainable for forever.
Forever.
And we don't know. Yeah, we don't know when that's going to, you know, if we just keep pushing, we don't know when that's going to end. So why set ourselves up to get to that point where we're just knocked all the way down and not able to, you know, get back, rebound like we would like. So I think it's a lot about giving ourselves that permission to do it. And again, it's a practice. It's not going to happen like, oh, I'm going to make this decision and I'm going to do all the self-care, all the things I need to do and rest and all the stuff tomorrow. No, it's a practice. And we're going to slip back and, you know, oh, I got to do all the stuff for my kids. Again, it's about taking that time to, you know, check in with yourself. It's a check-in. Okay, if I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling this. Okay, what do I need? Do I need to take a rest? I know I'm gonna do a little bit. I'm doing a little bit too much over here. Let me just slow it down a little bit.
But that goes to feeling worthy.
Yes.
And self-aware.
Yes. Yes.
We are not told ever that you're worthy at conception. It's a human construct that says you have to earn your worthiness.
Yes.
But in the bigger picture, in the greater energies of the universe, you're worthy at conception. Yes. You were granted life.
Yes.
And we, you know, we're taught early, you have to earn it. You get this, you get toys. You get this, good grades, you get this. You go, right. You go to school, you get good grades, you become a doctor. Right. And this, all this stuff, and we keep thinking, connecting the worthiness we have to do in the human realm with our worthiness from the soul level.
Yes.
And so when you feel like you want to take time for yourself, your self-care, you have to feel you are worthy of it.
So true.
And you also have to be self-aware enough to understand this lifestyle you're living is killing you. And it's going to kill you twice as much in menopause, in the perimenopausal period, then you lead into the mother of all shows, menopause.
Right.
And if you're not self-aware, you keep pushing past it. And as you have rightfully predicted, doctor, you're going to collapse. It's going to show up as high blood pressure. It's going to show up as diabetes. It's going to show up as heart disease.
Yep.
It's going to show up as back pain. It's going to show up as acne. It's going to show up because, like your car, your body needs care.
Yes.
You would not go 45 years without tuning your car.
Right.
You would not go 45 years without refueling your car and changing the oil.
Right.
You have a lifestyle with that car because you want it to last as long as you possibly want. And that's something we don't do at our body temple.
Yeah, that's very true. And that worthy is so, that's huge. I have to tell you, my business coach had asked me one day, it was in the kind of in the beginning where I was launching my program, didn't get a client. I just, you know, resigned from practice. Like I'm going through all these identity, you know, things at that. And she asked me, would you feel worthy if you never got a client, never saw another patient? Would you just feel worthy of just being you? And I broke down in tears because at that point I was so, again, used to doing, right? You said, you know, we earn our worth with, you know, making all these accomplishments, and, you know, we're also earning our worth with doing all the things, doing, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's with our clients, whatever that thing is. But if you feel your deem yourself worthy of just being, just being.
Just because.
You can make that transition into, I'm gonna lay down. Because I deserve to lay down.
Right. Or like for me, I don't leave the house on Sundays. I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah.
I don't encounter people. I don't open my computer. I don't check email on Sunday.
Right.
It helps me all week long.
Mm-hmm.
I started that in menopause.
See?
I started that because I just couldn't handle the overwhelm.
Right, right.
The overwhelm.
And that goes back to the self-awareness.
And people don't understand that, but... Yes, that goes back to self-awareness. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You recognize. Yeah.
So I want to talk about your book, Loving Me, Myself, and Her, and then the subtitle, Through Perimenopause and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the book. Tell me how that came about, why you decided to write it.
So the book first started as an article. I wanted to write an article about menopause for Essence, And I'm like, oh, I'm going to write this article. Yeah. I'm going to get an essence. And I send it off where the address that I thought we, you know, she's supposed to submit articles for. And it came back to me like, oh, this address does not exist. I'm like, oh, okay. So I left this envelope with this, you know, return address with my article submission on my desk here on my computer. And, you know, I just went about, I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's, you know, not going to happen. Went about my days, saw patients in the office, and, you know, patients kept asking me, like, where, you know, what book should I read about menopause and what should I read? And there was a books out there, you know, there was definitely good books out there, but it was a, there wasn't books that had a black face on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I should write a book. And then, you know, the self-doubt was like, girl, what you writing a book for? Like, you don't know how to write no book. So I had that conversation, like, nobody's going to read it. Nobody's going to buy it. You know, all
That's the mantra.
Exactly. That's the mantra. Right?
That's the inner critic mantra.
Exactly.
It won't work. Nobody's going to care about it.
Yeah,
nobody's only my girlfriends are going to buy it, and they're not even going to read it.
Exactly.
That's the inner critic mantra around writing a book.
Exactly. Yes. So I had this thought and this is, you know, okay, well, maybe I should write a book. So I just started writing and even in the process of writing, you know, the inner critic keeps creeping back in like, people really going to get this book. And then I went to Michelle Obama's Becoming tour. And she was speaking about just different things that women should talk about, and she mentioned menopause. I'm like, okay, see, I need
to put Michelle
my
wants
out
me
there.
To do it.
Michelle wants me to do it, and I love her.
Must do it now.
Exactly.
Michelle wants it.
Exactly. Like, she mentioned menopause, Michelle Obama. Oh, okay, all right.
And she mentioned my name when she came on the boss.
Exactly.
She said, Joyelle, menopause, from right. the audience, from
exactly.
the stage.
Exactly.
No, I get it.
So that was like, okay, that was the sign, like, write the book, the book.
Yeah.
So I wrote the book and I called it Loving Me, Myself and Her, because again, you know, in this whole menopausal transition, with my own journey, I did not recognize myself. I did not like myself, right? So I really had to go inward and go back to, you know, not only self-awareness, but self-love through this process, self-compassion. And I wanted to empower other women through that journey and also put my black face on the book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then, and then, you know, give it as an option
women of
to my
color.
Patients. Right.
I love that you just called it Women of Color. It's sort of the name of this podcast. I switched all my outreach to Women of Color because I found that even when I was saying black women, a lot of women from India started to come to me. I mean, I have clients in Thailand and India.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Indian descendant clients here in the United States because they saw themselves, especially if they're in the caste Dalit, where they're brown, they saw their journey as our journey.
Right.
So I just started, like, we're not just black. I'm just not African descendant, you know?
Yeah.
But so I'm glad you wrote the book.
Yes.
I'm glad your black face is on it. Oh, my goodness gracious. So my next question would be, if I'm in this space, just imaginary me is in this space, I'm in my 40s, maybe my early 50s before I'm feeling this, you know, because it can range. I mean, I know women who get this, like you said, 39, it starts, okay? And then mine didn't start, menopause didn't start till my 50s. And so you're there, you're trying to make a big decision about your life because you've got to make, so much has to happen in that space and time. You can't make the career change at 65.
Right.
You got to make the career change into entrepreneurism or making that business bigger somewhere between 45 and 52.
50. Right. Right.
Yeah, right. You got to make that change.
Yeah.
Or you're stuck there. At least in my psyche, that's what I thought. You got to make that change. That change could be awfully big. Mine was a divorce. That change could be go from CEO to entrepreneur. That change could be my kids now have to go to public college. I'm not going to try to afford this. Okay. They're going to go to the University of Maryland. They're not going to Harvard.
Right.
Okay. Because I'm not going to actually attempt to afford this.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing me now.
Right.
Okay. Nothing wrong with going to the University of Maryland. I want to say to the world, it's a fine school.
Yes.
But what do you do with the inner critic while you're doing that?
Have multiple conversations.
Lots of journal writing.
Lots of journal writing. I have written love letters to mine.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I have written love letters because first it was I had to recognize her, right? The whole self-awareness
thing.
I had to acknowledge that she, what she was doing, and recognize why she was saying what she was saying, right? Like, it's her natural thing to, you know, that little girl, like, oh, girl, we scared. What we doing? We don't know anything about this. The uncertainty, the fear,
and
all
we're
going to
be
things.
Homeless.
Right, right.
If you keep doing this.
We're going to be homeless. You're going to fail. All the things. So I had to start writing letters to her to basically tell her, acknowledge her. I see you. I understand why you feel the way you feel, why you're thinking the way you're thinking. But at the same time, we are worthy of more. And we are being called for more.
By Michelle Obama.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Michelle Obama said. So this is what we're going to have to do.
This is what we're doing.
Exactly. So I had to tell her that my higher self has to take the driver's seat. You can sit next to us. You can sit right here in the passenger seat, or you can sit in the back.
Yeah, you can come.
But, so our higher self is calling us to do this big audacious thing.
Yeah,
and we have to go with that.
Yeah. I want to add to this discussion, which has been fabulous.
Yes.
The whole notion of aging in general.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep in an interview said that when she hit 40, people only offered her roles as witches. Because the greatest recognized actress of our time had hit 40 and Hollywood couldn't see past her age. And that's not, so she had an external attack on her age. But I believe most of us have internal attacks on our age. We believe the okie doke.
Yeah.
About we are diminishing at 40. So now we hit 40. And now we have our internal clock saying, I'm old. You keep looking at these music videos of these 16-year-olds dancing around and knowing that even if you did look like that at 16, you're not going to look like that now. Okay?
Right.
And most of us didn't look like that at 16. Something was too awkward at 16 to be anything. And so you have this internal thing that's going on. You got menopause going on. You got the society's assessment of you going on.
Yes.
You got you're brown going on. What do you say?
Look, your kids, my kids remind, Mom, you're old. You about to turn 50.
Yeah, then you got that too.
You got that too. You about to turn 50. And what I say is, I am aging into greatness. I'm aging into greatness. I just did a podcast episode on my podcast. And like you said, we have these age blocks that say, you know, we put deadlines on ourselves. Oh, I'm 40. I didn't build that business yet. So that means it's I can't do it. Or I'm 50. I didn't write that book yet. That means I can't do it. and we feel like, well, we can age out of greatness. I'm like, no, we're aging into greatness. Mm-hmm. All the things that I've acquired as far as the skill, the wisdom, all of that is profit.
Yeah.
It's not a diminishing thing. It is profit. So again, going back to the self-awareness of my value, whether I'm 40, 50, 60, there is a value.
70.
70, yes, yes. And recognizing that value and knowing that value is needed in the world.
Yes.
Even though those other people may not think that, and that's okay. But if you recognize it within yourself and truly believe that, aging, like I said, age is just a number.
It truly is just a number. The number represents something, mm-hmm. and it should represent all the wisdom you have gathered over the years and not be a judgment of yourself. Mm-hmm. It should also represent all the things you know not to do that you didn't know when you were 25.
Yes.
All the things you're not going to do, all the stuff you're not going to take anymore.
Right.
Okay. And all the things you want to build into. But if you have that mantra of I'm getting old and have that as something that sets up a false upper limit, then you're doomed.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing 50 as the launching point.
Yes.
You've learned everything you need to know by 50.
Yes.
You know by 50, pretty much, you've made all the mistakes, okay? You've had all the bad boyfriends. you've had a couple of bad husbands. Right. And you know everything you need to know by 50, okay? Now it's like, what do I do with all of this information?
Yeah.
I love that line, you are aging into greatness. Well, I'm going to change it a little bit. And I'm going to use it as I have aged into greatness. I got here.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. I got here and I'm comfortable here. Mm-hmm. And so many of my friends close to my age are winding down. They're not keeping up with the technology. They can't work their cell phones. And it's like, how is it that you just dropped out? because you were born in the 50s and not the 80s. Okay, you just dropped out. You're just right. Waiting for death.
Right. You know? just waiting. Just waiting. Like,
I'm going to sit up, leg up, rocking my chair, and let the world go by because I hit this particular marker
right.
in the world.
Right, right.
Joelle, I didn't go back and get a master's until my 60s.
I know that's right.
Because I wanted to do something else.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wanted to do something else.
Love it. I love it.
Yes. And so I hated going back to school. I hated it. I didn't want to write another book report ever again. Oh, my God. Essays? Are you kidding me? I can't do this. I can't have wine until after that class is over at 8 o'clock. No. Ew. Hated it.
Right, right.
But I did it.
But you did it.
I got through. It's exactly. over.
Right.
You know. Right. And so I have aged into greatness. And to teach women, they are aging into their greatness, as opposed to, well, you know, I'm 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know you're 45.
Right.
What does that have to do with it?
Exactly.
Like, right. What
does that have to
do with it?
Now what?
Fortunately, hopefully by 45, your children are deep into their teens, okay, or beyond. And so, and your husband can cook. And so, you don't have to do this. You know, so I mean, you can do it with joy.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, yeah. And teach those kids, even if they're my kids are 13, 11, and not almost 9. Mm-hmm. Teach them kids to do things for themselves. Like
that's right. And you know, which makes them better humans.
Yes, exactly.
Makes them better humans. If they they're tall enough, they can make the bed.
Yep.
If they, you know, they can do the laundry.
They can do their laundry. You know? They can do laundry. They can
fold it all up.
They can fold. They can do all these things. Yes.
They can do all these things, and then they won't grow up thinking they're dependent on anybody. And your son won't think a woman is supposed to do that stuff.
That part. Yes.
That part.
Right. Even though he still tries it.
Well, of course he's going to try it. It's genetically embedded. We just have to break them of it.
You know? Exactly. So true.
Yeah, yes. But before we close, I want to talk to the audience. Tell the audience how you and I actually met. We saw our names on LinkedIn. I'm Joya. She's Joy L. And she wrote me a note saying, hey, your name is really close to mine. Let's talk. And I said, of course. So we set up a time and had the same raucous conversation in our first meeting.
Yes.
As we did it. So tell the audience how you ended up with Joelle as your name.
Yes. So yeah, any joy, I'm like, yes, let's talk. Like, yes. I love it. I love what she said, Joy. I was like, yes. So my name is, so it's Joyelle, J-O-Y apostrophe capital E-L. So it's the J-O of Joan, which is my mom's name, and the E-L of Michael, which is my father's name. And somehow they put a Y in apostrophe and made it a name. And I was born in July, not Christmas. I was like, oh, your name is... Like, no, I'm a summer baby, so...
Yeah. I'm sure it's Christmas somewhere. Some celebration is going on in July, somewhere in the world.
Exactly.
So, yes. And mine is Joya, J-O-I-A. Mm-hmm. And when my father got the call, my father fashioned himself as an operatic baritone. He was magnificent. It was never his profession, but he sang every chance he got anywhere anybody would hire him to sing an opera or just classical things. Spoke not a word of Italian, but he could sound out, okay? Mm-hmm. And on his, either on the radio at work before he left, because I don't think they had a car radio back then. That's not long ago. I don't think they had car radios for the public. He heard a woman named Joya Giovanni on a program by a man named Louis Prima. And it was a musical show. And this Joya Giovanni was somebody that my father thought was magnificent. But he knew that Joya was spelled G-I-O-I-A. And he thought, Americans are never going to understand that. G-I-O-I-A. So by the time he got to the hospital, I became J-O-I-A.
Mm.
And thus the origin of my name. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, Joelle, it has been magnificent talking with you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Joya.
And to enlighten us about the pause, and I love that your trademark name for your company is Power of the Pause. And it is really wonderful that we're not doing this in the dark anymore. We're not suffering this alone anymore.
Exactly.
That somebody who looks like us can talk to us about it and make sure that we don't diminish ourselves in the middle of going through this, and we use this energy to fuel ourselves.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why don't you tell the audience about your podcast?
My podcast is called Menopause Moguls. And we talk about menopause, obviously, perimenopause, but also a lot of empowerment when it comes to building businesses and just doing really anything you want as far as building your dreams in these midlife years. And I... episode comes out every week on Wednesdays. And check me out, Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube.
Okay. So the name of the book is Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Menopause and Beyond. And the podcast is called Menopause Mogul on all the platforms that you can get. I'm so happy to have you here on Unshackled Leadership on Lantern for Black Women.
Thank you so much. This was just a joy to talk to you today.
Yes. All righty. From the two joys,
we'll
see you at the next show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Unshackled Leadership, a Lantern for Black Women. I want to thank the people who make this all possible. Beginning with our senior producer, India Tisdale of It Takes Pure Effort Consulting. And our program editor is Grammy Award nominated singer and obviously extraordinary editor, Carolyn Malachi. Dominika Eldridge of Unique Creatives created our phenomenal artwork. And Hotham of HothamMusic.com created the theme song that you listen to every single show. Again, thank you for joining us, and I hope that you will be here for our next episode. Peace and blessings.